You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer, so let's bring her out. The star attraction, the one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
All right, are we recording? Welcome. Welcome to Kill Me Now. I just want to say, I'm beyond excited about our guest today. But before we begin, I just want to say that I had a shitty birthday. I had to fly to fucking Cleveland on my birthday. On my fucking birthday, I had to fly to Cleveland. Then it's one of those small planes. You know, that it's a smaller plane, so they don't, your carry-on has to be gate checked.
Oh, golly.
Okay, so they gate check my carry-on, and I'm like, ooh, I should take my computer out of my carry-on. So I take the computer out, I go on the plane, I had a glass of wine because I'm like, oh, it's my birthday, I have to tell everyone it's my birthday, I'm telling the flight attendant it's my birthday.
Yeah.
Then I get off the plane, then I go to get in the car, and I realize I left my fucking computer that I took out of my fucking bag on the fucking overhead, fuck. Then I basically threw my luggage down like it's on wheels, so I pushed it and went all the way, you know, and I started cursing. Because I have really good self-control. And then I went in to tell the woman at the, you know,
terminal.
The baggage claim, complaint fucking person. I walk in, I said, I left my computer in the overhead. But of course, then I added, and it's my birthday.
Well,
you know, because I have
smart.
To make it worse. And then, and I said, they can't find it. Because I had sent a woman who was pushing a woman in a wheelchair up, and she said they can't find it. And then as I finished that sentence of it's my birthday, a thing came on saying we found it, the computer.
Aww.
So I was like, okay. And then I went and had dinner at the bar. Did you stay at that Hyatt in Cleveland?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I love that.
The
arcade.
Yeah.
And I went to the bar to have dinner, and I met this guy who is an OBGYN, African American, and turns out he's gay.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, why would you pick vaginas? You know?
Uh-huh.
And he's from a very Christian, he wasn't really out. So when I started talking about my family, and he's like, oh, I thought you were going to say you had a husband. And I'm like, hello. boom. So then he came out to me. All right.
Whoa,
anyway.
Whoa.
So he might not be out to his patients in Cleveland for all we know.
Well, he's not from Cleveland. Now he does shit for pharmaceutical companies.
Oh, right. He's staying in a hotel. Yes.
Yeah. He does shit for pharmaceutical companies so that he can make a shitload of money. I bet you recognize that voice.
I do.
Everyone recognizes his voice because it's a special voice.
It's a special voice.
And his name is Greg Proops, and he's really smart and talented. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay, Greg.
Thank you.
Woo.
That's the best intro I've ever had, Judy.
Yeah, that was the Greg Proops intro. I fucking love this guy because he's fucking smart. All right. Can I just say one thing?
Yes, darling.
I was late today. I've been really good. I've been on time.
Uh-huh.
Last night, I'm sitting with my 21-year-old on the sofa. And I said, listen, the refrigerator repair guy's going to come. I got to leave the house by 10:30. Can you come here at 10:30 to wait for the repair guy?
Right.
Okay. And he's like, yeah, sure. Because that's how he talks.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
a lesbian.
Yeah, sure. All right.
I've met him. He's gorgeous.
Yeah. So then,
like a lesbian.
This morning, I call because fucking refrigerator repair guy calls. First of all, he's supposed to come between 9 and 12. I said, can you just come at 9 so I don't have to deal with this shit?
Yeah.
Calls me at 10:15 while I'm getting ready to leave. Yeah, I'm going to be there in 20. Then I call Henry. He's fucking sleeping at my ex's.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up having to tell the fucking refrigerator repair guy not to come.
Mm.
Okay? I didn't get to leave my house till 10:45, and my refrigerator's broken from my other son's friends breaking into my apartment and having a 4-day party.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is
insane. I can't take anymore, Greg. I can't take it. I can't. Every day I wake up, it's some shit. Do you have shit happen to you? Do you have like bad luck? Like I feel like
I do, but not progeny shit because I didn't breed.
Yeah. Why is that? Because you're so fucking smart. I was just thinking. I said, you know what, Greg? He would have the fucking most brilliant kids.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. We never wanted them, you know.
Yeah.
It was kind of after Jennifer. It wasn't really my call. Like I'm gonna force you to.
Yeah.
Pop out a couple biscuits here for me.
You're such a good husband.
I am, really. Yeah. I wish Jennifer was listening to this.
Jennifer.
Hello.
Greg, darling. You are really smart and talented.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Yeah, I'm not that nice. No, I really am.
I would agree, and humility is one of my most extraordinary
qualities. Yes, I
noticed,
because one of the wait, where's my notes? Oh, God.
Who's to say? They're probably in the fridge. There's no coldness in there anymore.
Well,
so.
No, it's the ice maker. They broke the fucking ice maker. So now I got to open the refrigerator. This is a big problem for people in third world.
Where's your
country.
Parade?
I have to open the freezer and stick my hand in the ice maker.
Oh, you're
it
kidding.
It doesn't come out the thing on the door anymore.
Get your...
Servants steal, too, by the way. I don't know if you're aware of that.
What?
Servants, they steal.
I know. Okay, so your book, The Smartest Book in the World.
Yes.
By the smartest man in the world, pretty much. You're pretty smart.
Well, that's very. I was trying to think of a name for my podcast, and I called a friend of mine years ago, and he goes, "Do you know how you come off?" And I went, "No, how do I come off?" And he went like you know everything,
right?
And he goes, "Why don't you do a show, take questions, and brook no dissent, and call it the smartest man in the world?"
Right.
And I went, "That's genius." So I stole it from him.
So you didn't even fucking think of it?
Uh-uh.
Okay, so you're not as smart as I thought you were.
That's pretty smart.
It's also smart to know when you should be the one.
That's true.
They say Jack Benny wasn't the greatest writer, but he knew how every joke worked.
Right. Exactly.
You go, that's not for me. That's for Mary.
Right.
So I'd like to think I have that capacity.
Yeah, you do. You have it. You were born in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes.
Why is that? Now, no one lived in Phoenix when you were born.
No, no one did. It was just a tumbleweed.
My brother lives in Scottsdale.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. Why were you in Phoenix?
My mom and dad met at the Pink Pony in Scottsdale.
Really?
Yeah, my mother was waiting table there.
No way.
Yeah.
And what was your father doing? Just
tending bar.
Oh, it's such a beautiful story.
Isn't it? It's so romantic. They're both dead, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Especially during the holidays, because I don't have to see them.
Yeah.
That's why I was born in Phoenix.
Now, are you an only?
No, I'm the youngest of four. My mother had three other kids. So.
Right. Okay. And the youngest, as I can attest to, is the smartest, most brilliant, best.
And has all the problems. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then you moved to a suburb of San Francisco. Is that correct?
That's right. San Carlos, a small white principality. We're home of the Plain Yogurt Festival. Thank you, everybody, and good night. Yeah,
yeah. Take care. We'll be
here
all
week. The taste is burning our tongues.
And
take out the fruit.
Why did you move there?
My parents moved there when I was a little kid.
Just for not for work or anything. So
dad was always on the run, so we moved there. Yeah. And then,
so were they educated? Were they college educated?
My parents?
Yeah.
No. My father went to Babson. My mother?
Wow.
No, not at all. My mother, like sharecropper from Mississippi.
No way.
Oh yeah. Her father was a. And then they moved to Arizona in the 30s, which is why my mother lived there.
Right.
My dad is from Brooklyn. He's from Bay Parkway, and he went to Babson, gambling seemed to be a real important element of his life.
Right,
so,
right. Yeah. And you said
what gamblers call the degenerate gambler.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's nice.
Meaning we had a new car every week and stuff like that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Not a new one. Just
but
a different one.
Different one.
Yeah.
Now, you said that one of the most dangerous things you ever did was to tell your father to fuck off.
Well, I don't know if it was dangerous. I certainly did. He was kind of a gangster, but I had that moment with him. Yeah, that was a beautiful family moment that I like to think
how
about during the holidays.
How old were you when that happened? And what holiday was it?
I told him I was a teenager, but then I think the big one was probably I was about 30, 31, 32,
right.
Somewhere.
So last year.
Yeah.
Hey there!
That's what I'm talking
about.
Woo! Nothing but net for gold on that one.
Yeah.
Kiss. She got the 3-point line.
So.
I told him that I hated him and I hated his father. And my dad. I started bawling, and my dad, because he was hard as fucking nails. Just,
right. Mm-hmm. No way.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that horrible?
Dad was a hard guy.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law, George, who's a very lovely person, said to me, it's hard for me to believe that they're your mom and dad because right. you have feelings.
Right.
So my
do your
mom and
siblings
dad,
have feelings?
Yeah, they do. My siblings yeah. do. But my mother and father, we'd be watching like a movie on TV when I was little and I'd start crying because
yeah,
you know, someone
same.
Was dying
yeah.
or someone was stranded on a rock or something. And my parents would go, God, you're so sensitive.
I had the same shit.
Yeah.
And my brother and sister would make fun of me. Like yeah. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, I always cried during that, yeah.
And then I would put like, you know, blinders with my, yeah. I use them as, you know, blinders of my eyes like a horse, you know, because they would fucking, look who's crying, yeah. It's fake and you're fake. Uh-huh. And also my parents were like, people who emote in public, people who cry like at funerals or they're faking it basically,
right.
that
right.
it's just for show.
Yeah. No, there was a lot of...
That's saying a lot about them. I feel like they're
right.
project. That's why they
well,
would cry
you know,
at a
my
funeral.
They've had tragedies in their lives and they just were stoic about it. So yeah. they feel like, you know,
but
they're supposed
should
to hold
too.
It. Yeah.
So can I ask a question about that? If they would cry, would it be just for show?
No, they would never cry. I don't think I ever saw my father cry. My mother would cry over the stupidest thing that, you know, but it was because she didn't cry over the real thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it would be like, you know, the rice is overcooked.
Right.
Oh my God!
Right.
Oh, I'm going out there never again,
yeah,
and then go upstairs
yeah.
and cry.
Right.
Do you have a computer there?
I do.
Will you what? Look up a poem by Philip Larkin that starts, "They fuck you up, your mom and dad. They don't mean to, but they do."
Oh my God!
You ever heard that poem?
No.
That's why I want you to look at Philip Larkin, because it's about your mother and father, but then about how their mother and father had to go at them.
Right.
And that's why they're
right.
the way
it's,
they are.
It's as they say in Hebrew, Lador Vador, from generation.
That's
to
why
generation.
I told my dad I hated his father.
Right.
It wasn't just him.
I only knew one grandmother, and I loved
Me
her.
Me too. I only
so
knew.
That's yeah. But you never met his father.
I know. No. Just
right.
just abusive
that's,
letters
yeah.
and phone calls. Yeah.
I could play it for you.
okay.
What, y'all play it. What?
Yeah. This be the verse. They fuck you up, your mum and dad. They may not mean to, but they do. They fill you with the faults they had and add some extra just for you. But they were fucked up in their turn by fools in old-style hats and coats who half the time were soppy stern and half at one another's throats. Man hands on misery to man. It deepens like a coastal shelf. Get out as early as you can and don't have any kids yourself.
Oh, I love that. That gets
we
a
know.
Win.
Now we know
wow.
why you don't have kids.
In old but style coats and hats.
That's
I love
hilarious.
That. Yeah.
But now my kids have two mothers, so they say, they fuck you up, your mother
and
your mom
your
and
mom.
Your
mom and
mom.
Yeah.
So you... Were you popular in school? Were you
not when I was little. By the time I got to high school and I got a little taller
right.
and a little more confident. Junior high, not so much.
Yeah.
I tried to hide from being
right.
beaten up a lot.
Yeah.
I was quite short and had the same voice that I have now
right.
and spectacles. Glasses from the age of 8. So
really?
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. I remember in third grade, like moving closer and closer to the blackboard. And finally my teacher's like, can you see anything? And I'm like, what do you mean?
Right.
She's like, you're going to the eye doctor.
Wow. Didn't they do, they did that every year in my school.
They gave us eye checks too.
Yeah. Eye
did
checks.
They? No,
yeah.
I never
and
got
you know
one.
What else they did? Fucking pissed me off. We'd all go to the gymnasium.
Tetanus.
No, they no. measure and weigh us.
Oh, gross.
And I'm fucking 6 feet tall.
I was
going to
say you were 6 feet tall when you were 9.
Yeah,
right?
and then they would call like Judith
yeah.
Gold, and then it would be
yeah.
Bigfoot, Sasquatch,
yeah, yeah,
big,
yeah.
and I was
yeah.
like,
how's
oh,
the
I
weather
can-
up there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kids are wonderful.
Were your are you? I know. Are your siblings any of them? You know, intellectuals or
no,
just
family people. Giant families and
uh-huh.
and oh my kids did this, my kids did that.
And are you a good uncle or do you
not
give a
no.
shit?
I said to one of my nieces a couple years ago, I wish I was there more for you, and she went, "That's all right, you're my cool uncle." And I was like,
really?
I'll handle that. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I'll handle that.
So All right. So then you're in high school. Were you involved in
theater?
Yeah.
Did all the talent shows.
Right.
Did all the plays.
Right.
We did Gypsy.
Then I did. We did Gypsy too.
Yeah.
Were you Mother Rose?
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I was Mother Rose.
Yeah.
I played Angie, who's one of the boys.
Yes.
Broadway, how great you are. We're taking June and leaving.
What do you want?
Yes.
Oh, Seth told me to.
We did Gypsy, then I did community theater because that was even wilder than high school theater.
That's great.
Community theater, like all the adults that were in their 30s and 40s were just raging drug addict alcoholics.
Right.
And one of them had been a choreographer on the Andy Williams show, which was fantastic.
Oh my God, I love that.
Her name, Sharon Cunningham. And so we'd go, we were in the chorus, right?
Right.
We did The Boyfriend and Little Me, right?
Right.
Jill Stein. And, then after
she then ran for president.
Yeah, then we'd have these giant cast parties, and everyone would get shit faced, and they didn't care at all that we were 15 or 16 years old. We would drive drunk to the thing and just get high, and then make out with each other and take drugs. It was just fantastic.
That's so great.
Yeah, that's why the theater gets you early. People are like, "Why did you want to be a performer?" It's like there were no rules.
Right.
When you're 16,
there's no boundaries.
No.
None. Zero.
When I started doing stand-up, I was probably like a teenager.
Right.
And they let you come into the club, drink, do coke in the bathroom, hang out with the band. Like, wait, this is way better than school. This is better than school.
You were in high school when you first did stand-up.
Yeah. And then
how did that happen?
Well, we were doing it at school, and then we went to junior college at the College of San Mateo, the knob of knowledge, and Harvard on the Hill. And we started doing stand-up there, and then this band came to play a lunchtime gig, and we opened for them. And they said, hey, you want to come down? We do this gig called The Winery in Palo Alto.
Right.
So we would go down and do sets in between their sets.
Right.
And they were like 28. We thought they were the eyes of age.
Right.
And we were, I think, 18, 19.
Right.
And, you know, that's when it started. Smoking, drinking.
Right.
Hanging out, taking drugs, hanging out with the band. And it was like, why would I want to carry on studying when I'm being treated like an adult by a group of adults? And then, and stand-up's one of the few things you got to do a giant apprenticeship. It's a medieval craft, stand-up.
That's
it's like,
what I
it's like being a blacksmith or something, or a printer.
Right.
You have to spend 10 years
at least
learning how to do it.
And then another 5 to know what the fuck.
Right. And then another 5 to like get that. And then another 5 to shake off the 5 from before.
Right.
That's the shitty 5 years.
Right.
And then you're funny again at the age of whatever.
Yeah.
But you're allowed to be in clubs and be paid when you're a kid. I can't think of another craft. They don't invite acting.
Right, right.
My friend Jeff Davis was in The King and I with Yul Brynner when he was from 9 to 11.
Oh. What?
Yeah. When he was a kid, the last 2 years, Yul Brynner did the show.
No
was
way.
He Tup Tim or whatever?
No, he was the little white kid. He was
the other one.
Yeah, he's Anna's son. So he has the opening number
that's
whenever
so cool.
I feel. The other night we were drunk and South Bend, Indiana, and he started telling me the whole thing again, which I always love.
Was he
molested?
I love
hearing this story. Not at all. But we would play theaters over the years with the Who's Line guys, and we'd be like, I can't remember where we were in St. Louis, some big theater, and he goes, I played this theater before. We go downstairs, and there's the King and I's autographs.
No
all
way.
Of them with
was
you.
He there?
And there's Jeff B. Davis. And he goes, that was the first girl I made out with. I was 12 or whatever, and blah, blah, blah. So they let you do that when you're a kid.
Right.
And of course, he said it was cutthroat, you know? People didn't cut from the plays.
Yeah.
He had one understudy that was like, I'm going to fuck you up. And he was like, hey, I'm 12. Back off, you know? And
did
like,
you ever see that documentary?
That sounds awesome.
Did you ever see that documentary about the Annies? The girls who played? Oh, my God. You have to see it.
It's so grueling.
It's the way they tell the story about how, you know, they'd get too old or they'd get a boob bump.
Right.
And then they'd be like, you're out. And like they talk about how they do their last show and they'd walk through the lobby to go home and they'd already be taking photos of the new Annie who's starting, you know, and how fucking devastating it was for these girls.
You were a star.
Yeah.
You're the last one to take a bow.
It's a great documentary.
Your show.
It's a great documentary. Yeah. So were you a good student?
Indifferent.
Really?
B minus, yeah.
But you knew you
were
just
smarter than everyone else.
Yeah.
I already knew the material, but I just didn't give a shit about school at all.
Yeah.
I didn't really get perved on until I think college, and then we had one lighting teacher who we did Equus, and I played Alan.
No.
Yeah, so I was naked on stage the whole run, and he took pictures of him, was showing them in his lighting class.
No way.
Managed to happen to just coincidentally show naked pictures of me in his lighting class every day. And so I found out and went into his office with a friend of mine and we told him to stop doing it.
Right.
And he said, no, I'm not going to. And so we went to the chancellor the vice president of the university. And I remember a ceremony where the pictures were burned in front of me.
Wow.
The slides were burned in front of me.
What happened to him?
Nothing. It was 1979 or 80, so it was like nothing. Now, of course, you could get him fired, I think, for doing something that
perfect. Absolutely.
Get shit done.
And how do I know those weren't the only photos? How do I know those weren't copies or whatever? He was a photography teacher as well.
Oh, great. Where is he now? Have you looked him up?
I don't know where he is. He's rotting in hell, yeah.
Yeah. I love looking people like that up. All right, so you start doing stand-up.
Jeez, some of these things I haven't thought of in so long. This is like going to the therapist, too.
I know, isn't it good?
Can I lay down and cry?
Yeah, go. I have pictures of your parents right here.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I've never really gone through my life chronologically. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's good. It's
like
fun.
Being hit by a bus. It's all passing before me.
But now you love Deborah Harry. Is that correct?
I do. How do you know that I love Deborah Harry? So she, I met her at an ACLU benefit years ago.
I'm a member.
I got a phone call at home. A woman I know named Jess Herman, who works for them now, but didn't.
Jess Herman?
You know Jessica Herman?
No, is she Jewish?
Yes.
This is our Jew bell.
I'll give you.
Wait, do you have any Jew in you?
That's my father's the Jew bell.
Your father's Jewish?
My father was bar mitzvahed. He was from Brooklyn. I was not bar mitzvahed. My mother was. I was baptized Episcopal, if you like those apples. But no one on earth believes that I'm Episcopal because of the way I look, act, and talk.
Right.
So my wife's like, really? Really, Greg? You think people are going to believe you're Episcopal? I'm like, I don't even bother anymore.
Yeah, you're Jewy. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
I'm too Jewy. So,
aren't Episcopalians a cool Christian?
Yeah, they are.
Catholics. Yeah, they're kind of Catholic, but they let women be priests and stuff like that. So,
yeah, and they like the gays.
Yeah, they don't care.
Do you have any gay siblings?
Not that I know of. I don't think so.
Any nieces or nephews gay?
No, I don't think so.
That's so weird.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. No, that is really weird.
I'm like, I have low gayism in my family.
Yeah, it's really weird. Although I had one cousin on my father's side, my Uncle Bill's daughter. Anyway, she had a kid, and he was 19, 18 when I met him. And, they're well off. I'm not Jewish, right? My cousins are a CPA, a businessman, a psychiatrist. She's married to a urologist. Okay, so yeah, the Jew bell is like, I said, all that's missing from our family is a violin player.
Right.
We got a comedian, we got a psychiatrist. So I meet him, and he's a nice kid, and he went to some chichi school. I can't think of the name of it, in Maine. Not Bard, that's not in Maine, but some really fancy school in Maine. And he was, he had an album. It looked like Hanson. They gave him the CD.
Right.
It was like three kids on it.
Right.
And I go, so you're going to be a musician? I go, show business is a fun career. It's something you do your whole life. He goes, oh, the road. I go, how old are you?
The road?
18. I go, check in with me in 30 fucking years.
Asshole.
I go, the road? You haven't been on the goddamn road. What the fuck do you know about the road? You live in a mansion in Nashville. And then you go to school. Right. Like,
the road? Oh, you're going to have to stay in a hotel?
Right.
Without your fucking servants?
Right.
Fuck you.
I was like, honey. So then the last time I saw him was last year, this year.
How old is he now?
Well, like 20. And I go, so you musician? No, I'm doing, I was like, either you want to do it or you don't want to.
Or you have to do it. Like, I have to do what I
do.
Right.
There wasn't an option.
Yeah.
But that's the people. And then the people that don't have to do it are the ones I resent,
Right. I know. It's so annoying. All right. Then you start. How'd you get into improv?
Well, let me finish the Debbie Harry one.
Okay.
That's right.
Deborah Harry. Thank you for keeping me on track here.
They call me and they go, we're doing this benefit for the ACLU. It's at Ellis Island. And Jennifer turns to me and goes, where is it? The tuberculosis ward? And I'm... Right, so we take the gig, and it was fantastic. It was we were reading different decisions, like Loving that one.
I think Loving was West Virginia.
Yeah, West Virginia. I think I read an abortion one. It was me, Joan Osborne, Deborah Harry.
Oh my god!
My name is Luca.
What's
that lovely singer?
She
lives here in New York.
Suzanne Vega.
Vega. It was fantastic.
Nice, Seth.
So I went around the table, and Philip Glass. Jubel.
Yeah.
I went around the table with the program and got everyone's autograph. Because
I was like,
I'm never going to be with this many people at one thing again.
And these cool people,
And Philip Glass composed a piece just for the night, which they played, and it was sensational. So I'd met Debbie at a previous one in Washington, D.C., and Maxie Priest was singing. The guy who owns the guy from Cleveland who owns who's, you know, the Gwen, the insurance company with, that has Gwen. What are they called? He's Jewish and he's a big liberal and he gives a ton of money to the ACLU.
Progressive?
Progressive. Yeah. The Catalan's Progressive is a Jew from Cleveland.
Is that true?
Yeah. And he
asked, a good fucking job that woman has.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, she's never.
Yeah.
And so
has to work on
that. Deborah was there and Maxi Priest was there, the reggae star with his band. And he had the most gangster manager you've ever met. Like a dude that, like, when you looked into his eyes, you were like, I can't look at you too long because you're going to suck me into your vortex of evil. And he and Maxi, of course, is like probably 60, but looked 25, right? Because he's a black guy from Jamaica and he had freckles and like, hey, how's it going? It's good to meet you. And we're like, oh my God, you're gorgeous, you know? And then one of the lawyers comes in. And mind you, this is an ACLU benefit in Washington, D.C.
Right.
There's 3,500 Jews in the other room, all of whom are advocate lawyers, right? And one of them comes in and goes, could you guys not smoke pot in the dressing room? Because, you know, it's a thing. And I was like, you have 3,500 lawyers out there.
Right.
Surely you could get Maxi Priest off.
Right.
On a reggae.
Right.
He's a reggae band.
Right.
What do you think they're going to do in the dressing room? Right.
Was he already smoking in there?
No. That was what was funny. It was a preemptive dope strike.
Oh, my God.
So when we went to Ellis Island, my friend says to me, don't bring any dope onto Ellis Island. There's a they have lots of security. Greg, I know you've got dope with you all the time. I'm like, all right, I won't. So I don't know if you know this, but you can drive to Ellis Island.
You can?
Yeah.
On a ferry?
Right. Well, and then you think, why didn't Leave Woman drive? Why take the boat?
Right.
You go to Jersey.
Right.
You go to Jersey and you drive over this WPA bridge that's made of wood that's one width wide.
Are you kidding?
No, I thought we were going to take a ferry.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like,
Liberty
I'm all
State
ready
Park,
with my coat and like a hat. Yeah. Like, we're going on. You know, I'm like Barbara Streisand. Right. We're, you know, don't tell me not to live, right? Like, we're gonna.
Yeah.
So we get in the car, and the guy goes, oh no, I'm gonna take you this way. Boom, through Jersey. We drive there.
Right.
And of course, there's no security whatsoever.
Right.
And I'm like, to Jennifer, we could have burned one right now.
Right.
Looking back at Manhattan.
Yeah, right.
I could have burned one.
You never listen to anyone when they tell you not to bring weed.
I don't.
Good. Yeah.
I did that night, but I don't in
Let's
general.
Learn.
And this story's horrible, but I'm going to tell it anyway. They put us
ahead.
At the W that's at World Trade Center.
Yes.
You know where that one is,
yes,
right?
Yes, I know exactly.
In those days, this was a few years ago, there was nothing there yet.
Yes.
It was still a gigantic pit that was being constructed.
Right.
So we're checked into our room, and it was Fashion Week. So in the room was a split of champagne,
mm-hmm.
The kind you put a straw in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there was a little car. And I mean, we weren't with Fashion Week, but I guess they stuck them in everyone's room.
Right.
The bellboy brings us in. The bellman brings us in, and the window's open. And all you can see from our room, and I'm not kidding, is the pit.
Oh.
And so he puts our bags down, and he goes, I lost my uncle down there.
No way.
Yep. So I gave him $20 and he splits. And I said to Jennifer.
Oh my God, he probably uses that on everyone.
I said to Jennifer exactly what you said. I go, I don't mean to be a big cynic or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But I've been to New York before.
Right.
And I said, if he doesn't use that on every fucking hayseed from Iowa that walks into this fucking place, I'll be a bobtail
and
bastard.
And how was the presentation of that?
Oh no, he did this. He did that. He gazed out the window balefully for several moments.
Yeah.
And then he looked not back at us, but across the room and went, I lost my uncle down.
Oh my God. You're
that's
not
good.
Supposed to do that. But that's really
I
good.
Gave him $20. It was quite a scam. I was like, get out of the room. Go. Here's your money.
Right.
Go. Yeah. And I said to Jennifer, everybody gets this.
Yeah.
I go, he doesn't have an uncle.
How about how, how about how you can't open the windows in any fucking hotels anymore?
And you can't, it couldn't open there. So Jennifer closes the blinds and is like, these are not to be open for the entire time we're here. I am not
I'm not giving him any fucking
ham sandwich looking down at this pit. Where 3,000 people were executed.
Oh, horrible.
Yeah, so.
A ham sandwich.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it was like.
Well,
so
the Jews
she took
did
a shower
it, so she should have a
and
brisket.
And I'd open up the window
so,
and look in it, you know, and then I'd close it back up because it was like too
hard. It's horrible.
The location.
I have not been down there since.
And there's a bar you can drink
upstairs.
Oh, yeah.
And you look down at it?
Mm.
Oh, they call it the pit.
Where were you on 9/11?
We were in San Francisco. We went to a Chinese restaurant, and then there was Hang On Alley in San Francisco, up above Grand Avenue, is a Buddhist temple.
Mm-hmm.
And I took Jennifer there; she'd never been there. And you go to this Buddhist temple, mm-hmm. and you you bring oranges. You go to the market and you buy oranges and offerings and shit.
Right.
And you put them down in front of the thing, and a Buddhist priest leads you in, and you take a Yahtzee thing full of sticks.
Right.
That have writing that you can't understand.
Right.
On them,
right. Right.
And you throw them, and then they're read for you.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
They read the sticks.
Yeah, yeah. So
however they land.
It sticks with writing on them. Yeah. So you go chuck, 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 and then you chuck them on the thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they go, oh, your life will be beautiful. And of course, it's always good.
Yeah,
it's
positive,
like a gypsy.
Yeah.
You know,
except when I go.
Right.
Yeah.
Fortune tellers never go, oh, my God, cancer. You're getting cancer.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
They never say that, you know.
Judy, the sticks break.
Yeah.
And they
right.
Throw
they break.
Yeah.
She's using them to eat chow mein with.
Right.
You can't eat dim sum with them. And, so we went and did that. So it was a beautiful morning. And then we went down to Golden Gate near the bridge.
Right.
We were buying postcards, walking around. And then the next morning we get up and the bus boy comes in and goes, they just blew up the World Trade Centers in New York. And I was in such denial, I turned to my wife and I said, that's a fucked up joke. I don't think that's funny at all. Turn on the TV.
It was... I can't even think about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we don't have to go
that and
the
AIDS crisis. I think I have PTSD.
Oh, don't even about the AIDS
crisis.
I'm from San Francisco.
I know.
So you talk to some people and they're like, well, I don't know anyone. And you're like, would you shut up? Everyone died.
I can't even.
Yeah, that's why you don't know anyone.
Yeah, that's why you don't know anyone.
But it's also like, I didn't realize it until recently, but when I look at footage from that period of time, I have to like leave or I get really emotional. And I feel like I was young and, you know, I was like, we're going to fight this. And blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Yeah. And I never let myself feel fucking people my age, like that my contemporaries, that we were starting our life, you know, and we're thinking, oh, my God, we could die, you know, well, not, you know, but.
Well, Fran Lebowitz said an entire generation of.
Yeah.
Actors, writers, artists, dancers, designers, intellectuals,
done.
An entire generation
dead.
So then people say to me, well, you know, Reagan was a great president and I'm like, that's it. I'm like,
I can't, bye.
Just fuck off.
He wouldn't even fucking say the word.
Nope.
And then what about how Nancy told, what's his name? This fucking menopause is really bad today.
I know, my menopause is kicked in.
But, you know,
they wouldn't do
Rock
a goddamn
Hudson,
thing.
Yeah. He asked her, he said, can you please write me a letter so
you're
I can go to France?
Buddy. Yeah, remember when
and
we used to have sex?
Like,
and, and they would make fun of it. You've seen that press conference where they make fun of it and everything.
Yeah.
And I remember going to a bar where I lived off Polk Street, and there was a bar, and the first signs for it, and it would say gay cancer.
Yeah.
And it showed Kaposi's and whatnot.
Right.
And everybody at that point was still real unsure of what was going on. And then, of course, within 3 years, it was over.
And also... It also forced so many people to come out of the closet, you know?
Didn't it just? And some people were really brave, and some people were really beautiful, and some people were, you know, Liberace.
Right.
Who went to his grave without... I wonder about a bunch of my teachers from school. I don't know whether they succumbed. I know a bunch of guys I went to high school with, you know, died.
Yeah.
A bunch of others survived.
Right.
And it was pretty much a crapshoot at that point, you know?
It was horrible.
Isn't it?
This is a humor podcast.
I know.
It's really funny.
It's called I Want to Die.
It's called Kill Me Now.
Kill Me Now.
AIDS.
I know, but that's when people start in about Reagan, and I have to hear people on TV talk about what a warm, wonderful, avuncular individual he was. It was like, he was a ghoul who refused to believe the AIDS crisis existed.
Right.
And then Walker didn't believe it until Magic Johnson got AIDS.
Right,
and then all of a sudden, hey, that AIDS quilt just fell on my head.
Yeah.
And so I just don't want to hear it, really.
I really don't either.
I
love
ever
Ron Reagan Jr., though.
Jr. is awesome. And you realize he was in the, which ballet
was he in?
He was
in the ballet, yeah.
And they basically kind of, he had to leave
because of his father?
Yeah. And he wasn't a terrible dancer. It was just, he wasn't.
What about that great commercial he does, Not Afraid to Rot in Hell?
Yeah.
I love that because he's an atheist.
Yeah, no, Ron Reagan Jr.
He's a good voice. He's smart, and okay, so
well, I mean, they'll bump up all these guys and say, "Oh, the Republicans were always the party of morality and probity and family values."
Oh, I love this moral majority bullshit.
Every single one of them went to jail. Every single one of them's a pervert. Every single one of them's a corrupt pedophile.
Fucking asshole.
I really don't want to
hear it. Wasn't Roy Cohn a politician who has AIDS?
Very much so.
And he
denied it too.
Yeah,
and was Trump's mentor.
Yeah,
right.
Yes.
He was on the House Un-American Activities Committee. He was a right winger. He hated Herbert Walker. He loved Ron and Nancy.
I don't understand.
And James Woods played him in the movie.
Yeah.
How appropriate.
Exactly. I don't understand
these right wing, first of all, the Jews.
Yeah.
Who are, I mean, these people obviously hate you. You know, like you, the people that you're fighting, you know, these right wing, they hate you. They hate Jews. They're only for Israel because, you know, the apocalypse. Yeah. Right. And, you know.
Right.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Right. Kushner's in there, Mnuchin, yeah. Gary Cohn, Rod Rosenstein,
is it one of them is one of those messianic Jews who's not like, who is some sect of Judaism that's Jesus-y but bullshit crap and whatever.
And there were all the ones in W's administration.
I know
that were in the mix.
And Wolfowitz,
you're like, what the fuck?
I know.
Wolfowitz.
Hey everyone, I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed, when we show the clips of the podcast, that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees. They have palm trees. They have evergreens. They have houseplants and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York. Okay, I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome.
So you...
The name says it all.
Yeah.
You joined an improv. Why did you go from stand-up to improv?
I was doing stand-up. I'd never seen improv. I was matriculating at San Francisco State, majoring in dope. And
they had a dope.
They had it pot. We called it reefer.
Yeah,
a lot.
We did too.
Reefer. And weed. They had an improv group at the Cantina, Mary Ward Hall. And so I went to see it because I'd never seen it. I sat in the front row and I watched. And they did an audience spot. They brought someone on the crowd.
Right.
So the next week, which is Tuesday or whatever it was, I went. I sat in the front row.
Right.
I'm reminded, of course, of Keen Holtz, who was taken to see Jubel. I was taken to
Sorry, I was writing a note down that I wanted to ask you something. Yeah, go ahead.
Keen Holtz's parents took him when he was young to go see a Rembrandt.
Right.
And his response at the age of 12 or whatever was, I can do that. And I thought, that's genius, right? That's just genius. So I sat in the front row and I thought, I can do this.
Right.
I'm 18 or whatever. I'm 19. I can fucking get up and make stuff up. So I jumped out of the crowd and I volunteered. And the next day I was, this will give you an idea of how long ago this was. I was riding a buggy. The next day I was playing pinball in the student union.
I love that.
Playing pinball in the student union.
We would have been friends.
Yeah.
What about Pac-Man?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, and Ms. Pac-Man and Atari.
This is the early days, right?
Wait, so what about the...
This is Centipede.
Yeah, Centipede. I fucking loved Centipede.
Joust. Yeah. That era.
Yeah.
So there was still pinball machines.
Yeah.
And I think this one was a Rolling Stones one. I can't remember what it was. Mm. And my friend
Reed
came up to me.
Did you shake the machine? Would you do pushing?
Don't shake the machine.
I'm a good pinball player. Yeah. I don't tell too much. And he goes, you want to join my group? And so I did. And so and that's when I learned to do improv.
You know what I find interesting? Because in your stand-up, you never talk to the audience. But but improv...
I did, but I don't know.
Yeah. And improv is really dealing with the fucking audience a lot.
Pretty much. And we bring them out of the crowd. We let them play with us. I mean, I'm lucky to be in a big improv group because I'm in the Who's Line group. So I go around with Ryan Stiles.
I love Ryan. So, will you tell him I said hi?
I will.
Yeah, all right.
And Jeff Davis. And
well, I love him.
No, just your response. Yeah, right. I thought you said
no.
Yeah,
I
right.
did.
Oh,
I will.
Said, I will tell him.
I did.
Said, yeah,
I did two episodes. I played his girlfriend.
No, I thought you said yeah. Never mind.
Never
it's
mind.
Time for Hennessy.
Anyway,
to fuck
I'm in a group with them.
That VP,
so
go.
now we do high class theaters and shit like that. But we do bring people out in the audience, and what they never, of course, realize is my own poison personal politics.
Right.
Speaking of, you know, because like you say in stand-up, I did a gig a couple weeks ago, and there was some contention in the crowd regarding my views toward guns and Christianity and Republicans.
Right.
And, you know, that's why I don't talk to the audience, because I'm not interested in their opinion.
Right, right.
Because they haven't thought at all about what they believe.
Right.
They only know what they believe because they've been indoctrinated. Not every human, obviously.
That, right,
I'm not
right,
that
right,
dismissive.
Right.
People are intelligent.
But you would think people that come to your show know what to expect.
But Judy, you know how it is. There's... No matter how many people have come to see you, 30% of the room has no idea who you are.
Right.
They've just come out to see comedy. And to them, we're lumped in with Larry the Cable Guy, Dat Fan.
Right.
We're comedy is a big amorphous thing.
All right.
Like music gets divided up into country and hip-hop, classical and jazz.
Right.
So if you're a jazz person, you don't wander into a country club and go, I heard there's music here tonight.
Right. Right.
But yet comedy fans will wander into a fucking comedy club, do no research whatsoever, and then go, I didn't like what...
Yeah.
I've had people say, he made fun of elected officials, which is like, that's
the
job.
Hello, we're fucking in the United States of
America,
you fuckhead.
Will Rogers, let's go back to the beginning.
Oh,
you know?
My God, I hate everyone.
Yeah, so that, and then so last couple weeks ago, I was playing and I was talking about guns. And I said, if you want gun control, as the setup to my joke, and a redneck in the house goes, well, I don't want gun control. And I went off on him for quite some time.
Okay, let's do a little improv.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want gun control.
Oh, you've been heard from. You're a white, empowered hillbilly guy who beats his cousin while he's fucking her because his team lost. Okay, we've heard your fucking opinion. Last 241
fuck
years,
you.
There's been 40. Oh, really? Fuck me.
Yeah.
How about this? Fuck you. You can go home and stick your weenie because it's so small inside the barrel of your fucking rifle.
I'll fucking take my gun out right now.
That's what I said to the audience.
Yeah.
Because at the club, they were putting all the phones in little sleeping bags.
They do.
Chappelle style.
Yeah, that's great.
I love that.
Which I do. And I went, you know what? I'm not going to keep this going because all your phones are in little sleeping bags, but all your firearms aren't.
Right.
And then they all laughed.
That's
and
a great line.
Yeah. And I was like, you know.
Whose line is that anyway?
Hey,
get it out!
That's the title of the show.
So, yeah, that's what happens with audiences now. Rednecks are real empowered to keep
the
their Nazi
thing
shit
that,
going.
Here's the thing. This is the thing that's so...
They always
sort
were,
of,
by the way.
Huh?
They always were, but now especially.
But it's also like, you know, because I was just in Cleveland. And, you know, of course, there was a portion of the audience that was there for me. And then there were the 30 percenters. Okay.
Yeah.
So I open, in the beginning, I talk about Orange Fuckface. That's what I call him.
Yeah.
Because I can't even say his name.
No,
okay?
I rarely do. It's Mango Mussolini for me.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Orange Fuckface is bad, I guess.
No, it's fine.
All right. That's
everybody
well,
knows who you mean.
Mango Mussolini.
So I do a joke. Shut up, Seth. So I do this joke. I have a joke in my act about how he is the only human being who could make American Jews want to move back to Germany. Okay? And then I do this thing of us going back saying, hey, we're back, you know, whatever. So there's a guy.
Hey,
you
we're
know,
back.
Yeah. Can we get our artwork?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
right,
just
right.
wondering.
My
like some silverware.
Had a painting and a ring.
Yeah, and I was wondering.
The wedding rings, they're in a big bucket.
We heard you guys are really sorry.
Yeah, yeah. My great-grandfather's teeth are in this big jar.
Yeah.
If you could find those for me.
I do it. I go as far as I can, because then they go, And it's like, what? So there's a guy, and this is what the thing is. The irony of it all is that they take themselves so fucking seriously and go to, you know, and it's like, even if the joke, now that's a funny joke. Even if you're a fucking asshole orange fuckface supporter, you can say, all right, well, that's kind of funny, right? If you have a brain. But they don't have that capacity. No. And they just go back to you with, you're a cunt, you're a kike, you're a dyke, you're, you know. Yeah. So
yeah, you check all the boxes.
Yeah, thank you. Not American Indian or African American. So or Latina. So this guy, and you know they puff up like fucking peacocks. He's like, and the wife starts saying to him, honey.
Yeah.
No. Oh, stop. No. And I looked at the table. I said, yeah, stop. Just cut the shit.
Yeah.
Go. Leave.
Yeah.
And they fucking got up and left.
Oh,
but
good.
But it, you know, and then I have another 15 minutes of getting the audience back.
I was
going to
say, you like me still, right?
Yeah.
Even though I abused one of you horribly.
Right.
But now you're taking their side against me, even though it's me you came to see.
Right. It's just, it's such a fucking crapshoot now. Uh-huh. And I can't. All right. So
you have to pick the places you play. I mean,
yeah,
I played Madison, Wisconsin. I had a couple of people walk out,
but that's such a liberal town.
Madison, Wisconsin is really liberal. Yeah. So you're never going to play to a more liberal crowd other than like Berkeley.
Right.
And, where people like cheer the no smoking sign.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
And in Madison, a woman came up to me after the show and went, you know, there's some people who support Trump. And I said, I'm aware of that. And she went, that's why I walked out of your show. And I said, well, that's your prerogative.
Right.
So she wrote a letter to the club the next day and said, I really enjoyed the first two acts. And this third act I disliked intensely because he disagreed with me on, I'm not sophisticated. These aren't her words. These are my words.
Right.
I'm not sophisticated enough to laugh at anything I disagree with intellectually.
Right.
Because I'm a right-wing asshole, narrow-minded piece of shit.
Right.
And so, fantastically, the manager of the club says to me, that woman wrote me. And I'm like, yes?
Yeah.
And he goes, I wrote her back and I said, I'm absolutely overjoyed you enjoyed the first two acts. As for Greg, 2 minutes on your phone would have revealed what you were going to get from Greg.
Right.
And it's kind of your responsibility as a grown adult audience person to do that research.
Right.
And you're not getting your money back.
What did they fucking think they're going to see? That's the
good times. They're going to forget about, people are going to talk about their dicks. They're going to talk about how embarrassing sex is.
Right.
They're going to talk about kids and how kids are a hassle.
Right.
They're going to talk about all the shit that I never, ever talk about on stage.
Right.
And when I'm not talking about politics, I'm usually talking about how women are harassed beyond measure.
You know, that is something I wanted to talk about with you as well, because, well, but first, before we talk about you're a feminist in the true sense of the word, which is now being fucking, you know, raped. No pun intended.
Ah, good one.
Thank you. you get tweets that are, you know, which I do too.
Yeah.
Go back to comedy.
Yeah.
We don't want your opinion.
Yes. Why? We used to be
funny. You were
funny
on Tough Crowd. Now you're not funny.
Right.
What do you do with that? What do you fucking do with that?
I block everyone who criticizes my comedy.
Yeah.
If they're coming from the point of view of, you used to be funny, but you talk about it too much now. The one that I hate the most of all right now is, you're still dwelling on Hillary, let it go. If the most important thing in the history of the United States happened, which it did, and it was a white backlash FBI Russian hacked, a voter suppressed election of a white supremacist reality TV star backed by the giant rich families of the world, and that coup occurred while you were alive, would you just let it go?
Yeah, exactly.
Or would you pursue that till the end of time?
But it's also that we're not obsessed with Hillary.
No.
They are. They are.
I am willing to accept that she's not in office now.
Right.
And therefore, when Judge Genie went on TV a couple of weeks ago and went,
119 miles per hour, bitch.
Turn it around and lock her up. It's like, first of all, Judge, she's not an elected official. She's a private
citizen.
She has done nothing wrong. That's been gone over time and time again.
And we paid for that.
We paid a bajillion dollars to go over everything that she had.
Right.
From Whitewater till Benghazi.
Right.
That's been looked over. The whole bringing Bill Clinton thing back up again, which they're doing on the mainstream news programs. $70 million was spent.
Right.
If Kathleen Willey, and I hate to say this, but some of the women that accused Bill Clinton were inconceivably well-funded by the right wing and didn't really have a lot against him.
Right.
Did Bill Clinton have sex with Monica Lewinsky? Abso-fucking-lutely he did.
And she was an adult.
You know what?
And he was an asshole.
I'm not saying he was. Yeah. Right. He's scum for doing it. He was, because he exerted his power over a young girl.
And I totally agree.
But that's been gone over to the tune of $70 million in an impeachment.
Right.
So the fact that we're even discussing that at this late goddamn day is so much bullshit, I can barely fucking swim above it.
Right.
The fact of the matter is, a predator's president, he's supporting a pedophile for senator of Alabama, when even the other weaselly, gutless Republicans in the party have stopped supporting Moore
and gone.
I don't want to have to sit next to the guy who, we found out today, a woman policeman used to have to follow him
around,
to keep him off cheerleaders.
Right. At the football games.
What kind of person is this?
Yeah.
So don't give me morality. Don't give me any of that. Don't give me Clinton. I'm not obsessed with Hillary Clinton. I'm obsessed with her in so much as I thought she was and is the greatest American politician of my lifetime.
Right.
Other than Lyndon Baines Johnson, who's quite dead.
Right.
She would have got more done than anyone else.
Right.
She would have followed in Obama's footsteps. The other thing was, of course, she would be being impeached right now.
Right.
If she were president with this Republican Congress and Senate, they have nothing better to do. They would have just gone after it, or they'd have tried to find something.
Right.
Whereas,
and yet, that's why we need control of the House of Representatives.
Which can happen. And I don't want to hear from, and then this, people get so mad at me. This is the other thing people get mad at me for, Judy. Bernie's been a fucking pain in my ass
for
fucking 2 years.
I fucking agree. First of all,
the Jubel.
It's so hard because I have so many lefty Letterman friends, and I'm just like, the whole fucking thing
he's
up.
He's trying to subvert the Democratic Party and destroy us.
First of all, he took the money from the Democrats. He became a Democrat so that he could run. Okay.
Because no one cared about him at all.
Right. Takes the money from the DNC.
Yeah.
Then, when he's obviously not going to get the party nomination, waits and criticizes. You know, our nominee.
Yes. She's untrustworthy. She's corporate. She's a warmonger.
And also the waving of the finger. Yeah. And he, you know, when you look at his behavior, and there are videos of him, people, you know, arguing with him and him especially women, putting his
hand
in front
of
their face.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, do they realize how much he fucked up? That's why I loved Sarah Silverman when she was told the Bernie people to get over themselves.
You're being ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, 2 weeks ago when we had the big election and you saw a bunch of trans people, a bunch of gay people, and a bunch of black people take civic positions.
Right.
He, the day before, sent out an email saying the party was in disarray.
Right.
He, the day after, went on the news and said the Democrats need to get it together.
Right.
He, this week, is still saying we're in disarray and we're all fucked up. You're all fucked up. Get out of my party. Stay away from my life. Don't ever come near me again.
How
don't wave at me.
And he's talking about running again as a Democrat. It's
Boom.
Like, no,
he's
then don't take
Democrat.
Our money and don't criticize.
He's not a Democrat.
Right.
And we know for a fucking fact, what was it, 10-12% of his voters voted for Trump.
Right.
Because they're that misogynist.
Right.
And now guys are breaking off that were Bernie bros and becoming Republicans.
Right.
So they're showing their true fucking colors.
Right.
If you voted for him and then voted for Hillary, I love you. Okay.
Yes.
Don't fucking call me. Don't fucking write me. I was on Stephanie Miller's show last week.
I
said a bunch of this shit.
I agree.
I got 10,000 fucking emails where people, a woman, and I sent her a couple of articles. She sent me some articles, and then I was like, I agree to disagree with you.
Right.
Let's resolve to defeat Orange 45. We've got to do this now. But don't fucking start in with me about how he was a progressive force and moved her to the left.
Right.
Her platform was the leftiest platform that was ever put forward by the Democratic Party.
Right.
Way leftier than Obama, who, by the way, was at war with 7 different countries.
Right.
And did not prosecute the bankers.
Right.
I mean, you know, if we're looking for faults here, and I don't want to. I want to get to the matter at hand.
Right.
Misogyny cost us our democracy.
Right.
We are now balancing on a very fragile edge here. We've seen in less than a year what you can do if you're a bull goose, chaotic Russian tool.
Right.
You can just come in and appoint judges and write executive orders.
Right.
He doesn't require any legislation.
Right. Also,
he hasn't passed anything.
What? I know. And they, you know, I get people writing to me, what are you talking about? He's done more. And it's like, he's done nothing. And he's a fucking idiot.
The immigration ban just got overturned again. There is not going to be an immigration ban.
Net neutrality better be.
That's going to happen in 2 weeks' time. I think that is going to go through. And they're
you
desperate
do?
For it, too. Well, I mean, the only way to stop it is to call and riot every second of the day.
Right.
And it's women who are doing this. I beg men who listen to me to do it. But men just don't give a shit.
Right. Because they're, you know, they haven't had to fight for
if
this
they
shit.
Understood that their porn is going to be deeply cut into by this, which it is.
Right.
What it boils down to is they'll be able to provide, they'll be able to slow down every site that you like,
right.
And they'll be able, you'll have Facebook, Breitbart, Fox News. Those will be pretty right. easy to get.
Right.
And everything else, not so much.
Right. I just All right, sorry. Bernie Sanders makes me crazy. It makes me crazy, and his
and
wife.
And people go, he has a great. Oh, don't even with the.
I word. Can't.
I'll go even further since we're on this fucking talk now,
Bernie,
and we're having a go.
Yeah.
After the Pulse nightclub shooting a year ago, Hillary responded immediately.
Right.
Even Orange 45 responded with one of his psycho things. If there had been more guns, you know, the blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And the next day, Bernie gave a press conference, and him and Jane didn't talk about it at all.
Right.
And they laughed on camera about some other item. They were giggling. And it's like, this, after 49 gay people are shot, is really not the time for you to yuck it up on fucking TV about how funny and cute you are.
Right.
You have no sympathy at all.
And
if people think that he's like this civil rights champion and shit, you know what? It reminds me of an old Warren Thomas joke. You remember Warren Thomas?
Yeah.
From San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said, Kim Basinger fucks Prince one time and suddenly she's Malcolm X. It's like, Bernie goes on one march or whatever once and I'm supposed to fucking.
Right.
They made fun of John Lewis. They made fun of Dolores Huerta.
Yes.
They made fun of Barbara Boxer.
Right.
They're horrible about dying.
And Maxine Waters.
Yeah. I mean, they're openly mean to women, Jewish women, and women of color.
Right.
And to me, it's like, I'm not having it.
Right.
That thing in Las Vegas where they were throwing chairs around and Barbara Boxer was on stage.
Yeah.
They're like, that was overplayed. And it was like, Barbara Boxer's a 70-year-old woman.
Right.
The one thing that a 70-year-old woman doesn't need to see is chairs flying around
the room. Exactly.
It's a little intimidating, okay? And my wife and I were at a Hillary Valley at a junior college in L.A., and they let all the Bernie bros come in. And they had a giant sign that said, burn the witch. Burn the witch. They disrupted the Hillary speech three times. Three different, Brenda and two bros got up and, man, damn, the war in Iraq. And not Trumpkins.
Right.
Not a Trumpkin in this crowd.
Well, they don't know about the war in Iraq. They only know I hate Jews. I love my guns.
Obama started the war in Iraq.
Yeah.
We were funneled out through this weird causeway. And they allowed the Bernie bros to stand on either side and yell at us and scream at us. There's pictures of it. You've seen the pictures of them standing, screaming.
Yeah.
There's little children. There was old people. A lot of women, of course.
Uh-huh.
I was with my wife. We got called every fucking name in the world.
Yeah.
And these were not Trump people. These were Bernie people. I've told the story a million times.
Right.
People keep going, why do you hate us so much? Why do you lump us all together? Because I was at a rally where I was called a fucking asshole.
Right.
And I watched them beat an effigy of Hillary to the ground.
Yeah.
If you think that's a big liberal progressive, you know, and then I get called a neoliberal shill and blah, blah, blah. Why do I buy the mainstream media and this and that? It's like, why are you a misogynist bag of fuck?
Right.
And if you are.
Oh, I like bag of fuck.
Yeah.
I love that.
Own it. Own it.
Yeah.
Own it. Own it.
And
get some dander shampoo and some better glasses and stop spitting on me. Stop spitting on me. Joe Klein said it, and I've stole it. I use it in my act. He wrote it for Time Magazine. He said, every Jew has an Uncle Bernie.
Yeah. And I have an Uncle Bernie.
Right. But every Jew has an Uncle Bernie.
Right.
Why can't there be free everything for you? Shut up.
Right.
Shut up.
Right. I love it.
Don't forget to tune in next week to Just Kill Me Now.
It's Just Kill Me.
Oh. Don't forget to turn... For part two on Just Kill Me.
No, it's not. It's just
Kill Me.
No.
Judy Gold's Just Kill Me.
Just
Kill Me Now.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.